Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We're getting ready to go to Italy. And wow, what a time, a historic time to go to the Vatican while it's all coming down on the Pope's head, and rightly so. But first, I'd like to talk about Kavanaugh, Brett Kavanaugh, nominated to the U.S. Supreme Court, and his accuser, Christine Ford, last week. And now, of course, today there's a second accuser. Last week, Doug and I were unable to decide whether this event occurred or not based on the information that we had. Now there is additional information sufficient to allow a just decision on the matter. We've reached a time, though, in our society when most people draw political conclusions rather than those based on morality and truth. And I said most people, right? I'm not talking about just the liberals. Will something help Trump? Then I agree with it. Will it hurt him? Well, then they agree with it, regardless of the particulars. Democrats, for example, they mostly don't care if a politician, Keith Ellison, abused two women. This is recent, there are medical records and all. Why not? Well, he's the head of the DNC, the Democrat National Committee, and he's currently a candidate, and he's a possible 2020 presidential nominee. So they really don't care if Keith Ellison abused two women. Many Republicans don't care if Donald Trump abused women. Why not? Well, because they're using him to fight their hated liberals, and they care less about him. They care less about Donald Trump's eternal soul than they do their paychecks. So since last week, we have more information regarding Brett Kavanaugh, and I am not in any way a defender of Kavanaugh's. Some have said it's not right that this Christine Ford should be able to destroy his career. Well, he destroyed his career when he decided to be a legal positivist. That means a moral relativist in the courtroom. And if the law says that you dismember innocent children, well, then that's what the law says, and so that's what I support. Even though maybe somewhere in my heart of hearts, I might disagree. So Brett Kavanaugh, his position is similar to Antonin Scalia's. Scalia was speaking at Pepperdine University, and he was asked, well, if your job is just to uphold the law, what if the law is corrupt and it calls for the killing of the innocent? Like, what if you were a judge in Germany in the 1930s and 40s? And Antonin Scalia's answer was, well, then I guess I would have been convicted at Nuremberg. Do you realize that? Do you realize the significance of that? A cog in a wheel who had set his signature in approval of the slaughter of innocents by the thousands, even by the millions, had become a hero to the Christians in America, and to the Focus on the Families and National Right to Lives, and of course to the Republicans and conservatives, and to the immoral pro-life movement. He had become a hero to them. And so Brett Kavanaugh, as he affirms the laws and the Supreme Court opinions that enable the systematic killing of children, he is the one who destroyed his career. He destroyed his career. He does not deserve a seat on any court, let alone on an alleged Supreme Court. He deserves no such seat. So Christine Ford cannot destroy his career. His career was destroyed by his own hand. But the matter of whether or not she has justly accused him of molesting her is a separate matter. And so we have a lot more information than we had a week ago. For example, she has named five people at the party. It wasn't a huge party. Five people at the party. She described where the house was. It was near the country club in their town. She named the country club. And she said when she had first shared this supposed recollection with others in 2012. And of the five people at the party, the other four all say there was no such party. They were never at a party, at a house, with Brett Kavanaugh and with this woman, including the one guy who she said was in the room. Now, of course, he'd be inclined to lie if it were true, because then he'd be guilty too, because he was a witness to a sexual assault. And although you could interpret what she claims he did as a way of helping her get away, he never said anything about it. And now, all these years later, his silence could lead to a grave miscarriage of justice. But the others that she claimed were at this party would have had no guilt, and including a woman who apparently they've been friends since high school. And that woman, too, denies being at such a party with Brett Kavanaugh. So the Bible gives us the standard. Our standard in America in a criminal trial is a bad standard. Proof beyond a reasonable doubt. That's a negative standard. Doubt is a negative. And as is said, you can't prove a negative, and you sure can't even try to do so with any kind of consistency. Whereas the standard in the Bible is a positive standard. You need two or three witnesses, and it's not two, it's not three, it's two or three witnesses, because you weigh those witnesses, and those witnesses do not have to be eyewitnesses. There are also other kinds of witnesses, like physical evidence, forensics, circumstantial evidence, and even the house, right? Christine Ford said, well, the house was near this country club in the town where they went to private schools. And it turns out that none of the people at that party lived anywhere near a country club. And so there's one, a political operative, judicial operative, who has publicly identified a home that was the home of another classmate, and that home actually is near the country club, and that guy looks an awfully lot like Brett Kavanaugh. And the details of the home, the layout of the home, fit her description of what happened very well. Now, the guy who did this, Ed Whelan, he's apologized for outing this other person, because the implication is he's saying, hey, it's evident that Brett Kavanaugh was misidentified. Christine Ford is thinking of this guy. And this guy's like, what in the world? And so that's a completely different matter then. But the fact that none of the people that she named lived in a home near the country club, but this other guy who's almost a spitting image for Brett Kavanaugh and was friends with some of the people involved and so on, and that she located the house near the country club, but none of the people at the party lived in a house near the country club, it's very common for teenagers to get together at one of their houses when their parents are not home, their parents are out of town. But it's a little weird for five teenagers to get together at somebody else's house when none of them live there. So then there's also the timing of her supposed recollection in 2012, when Kavanaugh was mentioned as the first choice for Supreme Court nomination by Mitt Romney if he were to win the presidency. And by the way, that's even more evidence against him, right? Huh? My board operator is asking me against which one. Well, is it more evidence against Kavanaugh or is it more evidence against Romney? With that one, if you misunderstand, it doesn't matter because it's true both ways, right? Mitt Romney is so incredibly wicked and immoral. Socialist, father of homosexual marriage, father of Obamacare, father of tax-funded abortion on demand, father of forcing pro-life hospitals to distribute abortifacients, father of forcing Catholic charities to adopt children out to homosexuals. I mean, he's an absolute nightmare. And we had everyone from Focus on the Family to National Right to Life to all the usual suspects lying and saying he was a hero to the family, to religious liberties. It was all a complete lie. And so if Kavanaugh would have been his first choice, that's pretty big evidence against Kavanaugh, but we don't need evidence because he's destroyed his own career. So, and by the way, when the Bible says you need two or three witnesses to establish a matter, that doesn't mean that you need two or three witnesses in order to act one way or another. If you're hiring someone and you get a bad feeling about that person, you don't have to hire them because you don't have two or three witnesses to establish the matter. If you're asked to confirm or not a nominee for the Supreme Court, you don't have to confirm them if you are suspicious about them. Further, let's say you're the one making a decision and you're the one who actually saw a person do something unethical or immoral. And you're the only person who saw them. Could you imagine that if some nominee was up for a confirmation and a senator actually saw the person do something immoral and they say, well, I'm not going to vote for him because I saw him do this. And somebody says, oh, no, you need two or three witnesses. I mean, that would be absurd, right? You need two or three witnesses to bring about a conviction in a criminal court. But there are countless instances in our lives where we need to make decisions about someone and we don't have two or three witnesses, or there are two or three witnesses, but you can't get them convicted for whatever reason, maybe because the police don't even care about the crime and so on. And it's also interesting that there are no neutral grounds. If you believe him, you're accusing her of slander. And if you believe her, you're accusing him of abuse. Now, I think it's especially sad that Christians, because of the Brett Kavanaugh thing, they are coming out in principle against the Me Too movement. And that's really sad. The Me Too movement has brought down dozens of powerful leftists, dozens of powerful leftists. And it's attacked a few conservatives. And who did it bring down? It brought down Judge Roy Moore. It didn't bring down Donald Trump. The Republicans who support him are like the liberals do. They're making political conclusions. So the morality, the truth of the matter is very much secondary. And whether they care about his eternal soul, that's actually not even on the radar. That's not even relevant to how they use him to fight the liberals. And they'll be cheering him probably on Judgment Day because he one-upped Hillary Clinton. Could you imagine if he ever managed to put her in jail? Christians would still be cheering him on Judgment Day as he's going into the lake of fire. They'd probably be tossing him some asbestos water skis. So now the second accuser, it's too recent to know. Brett Kavanaugh is releasing his calendars. Interestingly, on Friday, Cheryl and I were cleaning out our house and I'm looking in a drawer I almost never look in. And I have my little books, my calendars. You keep them in your shirt pocket. Before we had cell phones, you know, in Google Calendar. And tiny little writing in them, a year's worth in a little leather calendar. Year after year after year of them. And it's interesting, and I thought, wow, I need to remember that I have these in case I'm trying to recall where I was at a certain date in the past. And so Brett Kavanaugh did the same thing, only surprisingly, he apparently did it in high school also, having some extensive record, a calendar of his activities. And some of them include social settings like parties, some of the notations. And he claims that he was mostly traveling throughout that year of, when was it, 1982 or so, the year of the Christine Ford accusation. So it'll be interesting if those calendars have any impact on the claim of the second accuser. And right now it's way too early to decide that. And we do live in an age where people, famous people, people with reputations, unknown people, will lie with abandon in order to achieve their political goal. I mean, human beings have always been broken. But the nastiness of it, the intensity of the hatred has permeated deeper into society, partly because of social media, because everybody could express their opinion on everything to everyone in their circles, and people dig in, and now they hate their classmate from third grade because 6 months ago they had found each other, and now they're on opposite sides of the latest political drama. In our politics also, they have become a soap opera. And there's a lot of young people maybe who don't even know what soap operas are. But they become a soap opera. And with the daily adrenaline rush that the addict needs, the soap opera addict or the romance novel addict, right? Romance novels are female pornography. That's what they are for women. The porn for men, romance novels are female pornography. And you need a daily dose. There are hundreds of thousands of women who will read, on average, one romance novel a day, one book a day. And they buy them by the hundreds. A book a day. It's like men who are addicted to pornography. By the way, we're getting to release a new resource here on our store. Our website is kgov.com. You're listening to Bob and Yart Live. Our website, kgov.com. And when you're there, you click on our store, and we have all these amazing resources, including on morality. And we're getting ready to release a new DVD or Blu-ray, Lust, the Gateway Drug to Porn. Lust, the Gateway Drug to Porn, when men are trying to overcome pornography. And then so foolishly, if a man leers at a woman or even is just stealing subtle glances, then that behavior is itself a temptation to return to pornography. So what a powerful resource this is. Actually, two messages that were preached at Denver Bible Church by Will Duffy, one of the leaders of our church, we've combined them onto this single DVD or Blu-ray disc, and so that should be available in October. And then we'll also probably bundle it with my own testimony, Bob's testimony, Why God Forbade Sexual Immorality. So today, the population is addicted to the political drama. And it is an addiction, and it's an adrenaline rush every time you get the next bit of news of how inane the Democrats are, how wicked they are, how the CIA, the FBI, the Department of Justice, I mean, it all is hysterical. It couldn't be more entertaining. That's true. But it's also addicting. And what happens when you get addicted to a soap opera, then you take the side of the one character or the other, the heroine or the witch or whoever. And then pretty much regardless of what happens, you keep defending your side. It's that identity politics. When there's a call during a hockey game at the Stanley Cup, half of the audience is thrilled and the other half is enraged. What idiots those refs were. Well, why would it be that half the audience thinks it's a good call and the other half thinks it's a bad call? Well, it depends on which team they're rooting for. And so that is as true in sports as it is in entertainment, as it is in politics, sadly, when the member of the public has betrayed his obligation to truth, to justice, to morality, to his partisan interests. Oh, by the way, also, the Christian Post has a great interview out yesterday, September 23rd, and it uses our phrase, nicer than God. And what's interesting about that phrase, we did a seminar on that years ago. We have an article. If you haven't listened to the seminar, you can get it at our store. It's so interesting. KGov.com, just click on the store. But what we think we're going to do also is we want to do a complete radio show on this. So maybe we'll do that next week. Why don't we plan that? We'll put that on the schedule for next week, right before we leave for Italy. So in the Christian Post, there's an interview with Activist Mommy. She has on Facebook about 700,000 followers. And she really is awesome. Elizabeth Johnston. And so they ask her, why do you think so many Christians are afraid to speak up, especially about things like sexualizing children and the child abuse of confusing kids regarding their own gender and dismembering unborn babies? So Elizabeth Johnston says there's a spectrum among Christians, and there might be someone who's a devout believer in Jesus and who would want to do whatever he told them to do, but they're listening to pastors and spiritual leaders who are telling them that they have to be nicer than Jesus. And so she said, nicer than Jesus, that qualifies, right? Nicer than God, if you Google that, you'll find that there are thousands of references. If you don't put it in quotes, you get too many. Put it in quotes, nicer than God, tens of thousands of references, and we're thrilled that our article there is number one. Okay, we're almost out of time. One more point about the left and their jumping on Christine Ford's accusation against Brett Kavanaugh. They could care less. It's because this is a political conclusion. They could care less if he is innocent. They could care less. Sadly, a number of his supporters, although I don't believe as large a number, could care less if he were guilty, sadly. But the left, this is characteristic of them. When there is an accusation against one of their enemies, they could not care less if it is a false accusation. And the false accusers came against Jesus, you know? Okay, last week I mentioned that I had, again, misquoted the Bible. I had done it once again. And it turns out I've been doing this for years. And I've done it intentionally for years. Now, is that good or is that bad when you misquote the Bible? Well, this was in a comment about how Hispanics are doing so great in the current economy as compared to the previous 8 years. The article is at The Hill outlet, thehill.com. And it's really an encouraging article. And it is truly astounding how well Hispanics are doing just in the last 2 years. And a lot of it is because of the reduction in regulations, because Hispanics are way more likely to start small businesses than are other ethnic minorities. And other people in a lower economic strata, Hispanics are ready to start a business. Well, it turns out, and I know, I run a small business, Bob and Yurt Live. The regulations, the government requirements, the tax forms, the tax filings, it is all onerous. And once a business is larger, they don't care. Say Google or Apple. If there are regulations and they have to hire 10 lawyers to make sure they comply with those regulations, it's nothing to them. It's nothing. Whereas if you're a small startup and you need to comply with all these regulations, you can't afford to hire one attorney, and so you go out of business. And the same thing is true down at the level of the small business startup. And so Hispanics are doing tremendously well. And there's this great article about it in The Hill. Well, at the end of this article, it says this. Republicans, this is just out of the blue. Republicans shouldn't get swayed by the siren song of pursuing divisive social issues. What does that have to do with Hispanics doing great because there are lower taxes and fewer regulations? What does that have to do with killing babies and sodomites? What does that have to do with that? So I quoted that in my comment. Republicans shouldn't get swayed by the siren song of pursuing divisive social issues, or divisive. And I said this, like the Bible says, better is wealth with injustice than less money with righteousness. Proverbs 16:8. And then I added, what's a few more dismembered unborn children when we're counting votes? And that's The Hill, right? The Hill, they don't want anyone to confuse power with righteousness. And so, yeah, I've been misquoting that verse, Proverbs 16:8, on purpose for years. When people who lust for political power say, hey, we need to forget the abortion, forget that homosexuality destroys people. We need votes. We need votes. We need lower taxes. I make more money. And so that's when I love to quote Proverbs 16:8. Like the Bible says, better is wealth with injustice than less money with righteousness. How's that for a Bible misquote? Hey, this is Bob and Yart. May God bless you.
The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.